Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
What if there was a way to level up your energy, get rid of stress, and take more control of your body? Welcome to Quantum Upgrade. This is a new technology that taps into quantum energy to help you feel amazing. Quantum Upgrade has a lot of different products that help protect you from EMF and help activate your body's natural healing abilities. You can expect better sleep, more resilience, less stress, and better blood flow. The cool thing about Quantum Upgrade is that the products are backed by a lot of heavy-duty scientific studies, and there's a new measurable upgrade. You can now use Quantum Upgrade to increase your consciousness levels between 1400 and 2200 on the Hawkins map of consciousness. If you don't know what that means, do some research because it's impressive, it's fun to learn about, and it's something that I've come to understand. Ready to try Quantum Upgrade? Visit quantumupgrade.io/Dave for a 7-day free trial. Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of 6 different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com.
Today's show is really cool. You're going to love listening through all the way to the end. And the reason is that I'm recording it live here at Bulletproof Labs Alpha. And we're talking with the creator of a new kind of technology that takes ancient sound healing from a variety of traditions, largely in this one, Native American, and building on it and actually making that something that you can use in your own home or even at a doctor's office in order to change your biology just using sound. I've been playing with this tech at home. It's really cool. So you'll hear about my story of how I've been using it and some of the mechanisms for how sounds can affect your biology directly at the cellular and at the nervous system level. So check it out. There's some new knowledge here for you. Today's cool fact of the day is that France just banned Wi-Fi in preschools. They basically said that EMFs or electromagnetic fields, things like cell phones, computer tablets, and Wi-Fi are probably not good for kids, especially under age of 3. And they're even tracking EMFs from cell phone towers and have a law in the books saying that you have or that you must sell a headset to anyone under the age of 14 when they're buying a cell phone. And they've recognized electromagnetic hypersensitivity because a growing number of people in France are having adverse health reactions when exposed to EMFs. You might go, what the heck is going on here? Here's the deal. If you've been listening to Bulletproof Radio for a while, I've had several guests on. Dr. Mercola was on recently. And it turns out that it's not just an effect of like a microwave cooking you that's a problem, because that probably isn't a problem. What is a problem is something called calcium or voltage-gated calcium channels in the cells that get activated by non-natural EMFs. And what those do is they cause inflammation in cells. And kids, especially little kids, have a thin skull that doesn't protect the brain with all of those precious mitochondria as much as it could. So in my house, my kids aren't allowed to hold a cell phone that's turned on. They do use tablets on occasionally on airplane mode. And we have Wi-Fi. Oh my goodness. But it's turned off most of the time. I have a switch on it. And here at the labs, I actually have a switch I can control with my cell phone. So I can turn my cell phone on, get a little EMF that way, and use it to turn on even more EMFs. But the point here is that if we have some governments in Europe looking at the data and saying there's enough data here that we ought to at least be precautionary towards our kids, that's worth noting. Because you could say, well, everyone in France is crazy, which isn't the case. Or you could also, if you're French, say everyone in America is crazy because they're not protecting their kids. I think that there's, we'll call it meat on the bone here, and that you should be paying attention to this. I'm not telling you don't use electromagnetic devices or don't use cell phones. They're incredibly useful. Just beware. It comes at a cost, so use them consciously and with awareness. And kudos to you, France. All right. Today's episode is going to be pretty cool. But before we get into it, did you know that if you're too lazy to grind your coffee beans from scratch and then brew them perfectly in a specialty coffee association certified brewer the way I do, that's okay. No one's going to judge you, at least not out loud. For those of us who just sometimes don't have time or in hotel rooms, we actually make bulletproof coffee pods that are compatible with the latest Keurig brewers. So you can take these things with you when you travel, and you can still get your mold-free, lab-tested Bulletproof coffee beans. Stack that with Instamix, the new flavor that just came out that is much better than our old Instamix. It's got grass-fed butter, brain octane. You can actually have the full Bulletproof coffee experience in your room, or you could just hit your local Whole Foods and get some of the Bulletproof cold brew and just have that ready to go in the morning. I will not travel without Bulletproof coffee because it's part of what makes me work. And now you've got the coffee pods, you've got Instamix, or you can just grind the beans the way I do at home. Today's guest is Larry Duchin, who flew up to Vancouver Island here at Bulletproof Labs Alpha. He's an entrepreneur and an author and co-founder of Uriel, who also has another name, which is Huso. There you go. Human Sound. It's what that stands for. And he's a patent holder of a new technology in sound therapy called Uriel Tones. And it's making some waves in the field of frequency medicine. He's written 3 books about personal and spiritual growth and is now using sound frequencies to have some pretty remarkable effects. I've got his clinical grade equipment up here at Bulletproof Labs. I've been playing with it, and it's cool enough that I wanted to invite him up here to share with you kind of what's going on and what sounds actually do in the body, so I can ask him some hard questions and we can all learn a thing or two about what sound is doing in our cells. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. How did you get into sound therapy, which is about the hippiest sounding thing I've ever heard of, by the way?
Well, I have no music or medicine background, so a lot of people would look at that as a disadvantage. I actually look at that as an advantage, because I am able to take a look at certain situations and kind of see them from a non-biased perspective and kind of see what's going on. And I was really able to look and understand what's happening with frequency, you know, that frequency is the foundation of life, and that what is affecting us with these EMFs and other things like metals and toxins in the body, stress, and how that affects what we call the frequency language in the body. But to answer your question, I kind of came into this. This is spiritually oriented, and I would just say God kind of dropped me into this because I had the skills to bring this technology into fruition and to take it to the point where we're at now.
You're a co-holder of the patent on this technology. Just tell me the story about what made you notice that sound healing had an effect.
Well, Uriel Tones consists of sound frequency that was done by 2 very powerful sound healers in a studio and broken into its individual frequencies. And it was toned with great intention for healing. And so I was aware of these 2 sound healers for a long time. One is actually my wife. One is my co-founder. And so they've been doing sound healing for a very long time. And I came into this we were trying to develop something that would be an answer to a non-invasive answer to the types of problems that we're facing in the world. And so we believe that we've developed something that fits that bill, because we are restoring healthy frequencies in the body through the power of human sound.
I've traveled the world and experienced all sorts of unusual things. And you go to Tibet, they've got, you know, Tibetan healing bells. And you go to Australia, they do unusual sound healing with didgeridoos, the shamanic drumming. In fact, I've talked about how sound and these different types of frequencies are some of the original ways that we could actually get in to change the state of our minds. How do you define sound healing? Is it that kind of stuff, or is it something else?
Yeah, you know, sound healing, what we're using is the human voice, but certainly there's a number of other sound healing modalities. We feel like the human voice is probably the most deeply assimilated by the body than an instrument, because human sound is organic to us. So you think about listening to a choir, you feel that energy running in your body. That's the power of human sound. And there's a reason that human sound has been used for millennia by, you know, native traditions, indigenous tribes, for healing, because it's that powerful. And sound is really fundamental to basically to all creation, because all the spiritual traditions and religious traditions talking about sound as having created the universe. So sound is a very fundamental element in what we're doing. And we think human sound, because we produce human sound, is really the basis of what we need to help us restore those frequencies.
There's a time in my life when I would have been highly skeptical of something called sound therapy.
Yes.
However, in Headstrong, my last book, I wrote about how this network of bacteria in the body, the mitochondria that generate our energy, they are vibration sensitive. And mm-hmm. we've absolutely proven this. And we know all bacteria are, because when you're culturing bacteria, the vibrational frequency, and you know, frequencies can sound, you know, esoteric or something, but vibrational frequency means number of times per second you vibrate the plate they're in. Like mm-hmm. it's a hard science definition. It actually dramatically affects growth of cells. And yes. when you're culturing human stem cells, if you vibrate them the wrong way, or you don't rotate the culture dish just the right way, they actually won't grow, or mm-hmm. they'll grow twice as fast. So we know our body's listening to sounds. And I think we've kind of known this as a species for a long time. You know, we're in the womb and we're getting our mother's heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And you can actually play sounds recorded in the womb for people, and it puts them in weird altered states. But how do you know what sounds do what in the human body?
Well, let me back up for a minute and say that, you know, if we do, I know your listeners understand, a lot of your listeners understand frequency medicine, but let's kind of just give a kind of a quick overview of that. So basically, science has proven that everything in the universe is in vibration. And also, when it's in vibration, everything is giving off a sound, whether you hear it or not.
So when you say everything, you mean like subatomic particles vibrate a certain way, all yeah. the way up from there?
I mean, everything is energy. Albert Einstein said everything is energy, and that energy is all light and sound. So it's all basically frequency. Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, then look at frequency, vibration, and energy, because that's what the universe consists of. So we're all, everything is in vibration. And everything basically has a resonant frequency. And the frequency is basically the rate and form of that vibration. And so everything in your body has a resonant frequency. Everything in the universe has a resonant frequency. And what we believe is happening is that the frequencies in the body have become distorted. And this is coming from several sources. And this has caused a large part of our health crisis today.
When we're talking about resonant frequencies, people who have an engineering background, who studied that sort of thing, we'll understand what that is, but can mm-hmm. you define what a resonant frequency is versus a normal frequency?
Well, when I'm talking about, like, we use the terms entrainment and resonance. So there's a natural frequency that is in your body that each of your cells and organs have. So your body is producing a frequency that is between, depending on like if it's the brain or the heart or what it is, it's producing a frequency that's between like 2 and 12 hertz. And so, and we are, what we're being exposed to, like with cell phone transmissions and other types of electronics and other like metals and toxins in the body, are frequencies that are radically different than that. So for instance, a cell phone is producing a frequency that's over a billion hertz. And that is obviously something that is quite different than what your body's accustomed to. The other thing is that there's frequencies coming off of the earth that are natural frequencies that we've evolved with over a long time that are, you know, that we're accustomed to, and those are obviously radically different than these electronic frequencies. But when we talk about a resonant frequency, we're talking about the frequency that your body in its normal stability and stasis is the one that it's using to communicate properly, because your cells are communicating through what we call a frequency language. So they're communicating through this frequency language in order to uptake proteins, create energy, release waste, and so forth. And that frequency language is becoming distorted by all these metals and toxins in the body, by EMFs, by cell phone transmissions. So it's kind of like the American alphabet, and you were to put some Chinese symbols in there and you tried to communicate through that language, it would be distorted. You wouldn't be able to understand it. And that's what's happening in the body.
When you look at a guitar that's out of tune, mm-hmm. you can hear it. And what's going on there is the string isn't resonating mm-hmm. properly, right? Because there are certain frequencies where things will oscillate properly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people probably haven't heard that we know in hardcore biophysics and bioengineering, like there's a rate of oscillation of the mitochondrial membrane. It's 100 hertz. And the different cell membranes in the body resonate at different frequencies. And that you can manipulate those things with some of the gear I have here, some of this pulsed electromagnetic frequency, things mm-hmm. like that. But it's not clear to me anyway we have toxins and even like some emotional stuff probably that can affect these things, at least in my experience. But maybe we can directly put frequencies back into the body, or maybe we can pull the toxins out and allow the body to go back in. Is it your experience in working in clinical settings and with some people at home with your devices that just addressing the frequency level helps with these things like, you know, environmental toxins and things like that? Or like what's the net impact of the idea of going to the frequency instead of to the underlying or removing EMFs or something?
Well, I think it has to be, we believe it has to be a comprehensive approach. So for instance, our sound frequency equipment is, we believe, very restorative and having very good results in restoring the healthy frequencies that are in the body. And, but it also needs to be paired with other things. For instance, we know from another company that we have that's a metal detox program, and that the large majority of people are heavy metal toxic to a significant degree. So those metals and toxins in the body have their own electromagnetic signature. They're also throwing off the frequency in the body. You know, stress is throwing off the frequency in the body. And so what you have to do is you have to do a comprehensive approach, which includes, a lot of the things that you're doing, that you advocate, things like Uriel Tone's use of our sound frequency therapy, and then also things like maybe a metal detox program, some simple things like taking precautions in terms of protecting yourself from electromagnetic fields, like you sleep with a cell phone next to your bed, you have a digital alarm clock that puts off a huge field. You know, there's some things that you can do. We're in a pretty toxic world in a lot of ways, and we have to take a comprehensive approach to stay in good health.
There's a couple of things that I came across over the last 25 years of exploring this stuff, even before I really was as focused as I am now. And one of them is I read a book by Robert Becker, Electromagnetism and Life, I think it was called. Uh-huh. And after that, I went out and I bought a Schumann resonance generator. And for listeners, the Schumann resonance is one of those resonant frequencies that happens when we have lightning. Mm-hmm. And there's lightning on the planet, and it creates a reverberation between the upper atmosphere and the earth, and it's around 7.8. And so my house has always had a predominant Schumann resonance because the cells in your body attune themselves to that as a timing signal. And these are things that are just missing from our awareness, yet this is proven. Like we know this.
This is all proven. And that's why when you go into nature, you feel good because you are receiving the natural frequencies that come off of the earth, which include like the Schumann resonance and other frequencies. So, you know, what we're doing with our sound frequency is kind of taking somebody back to the same state in terms of what they're getting in nature. And so we have evolved over, you know, we've only been living in like houses, and we've only had, for obviously several hundred years, we've only been living, had electronics, all of this cell phone transmissions and large proliferation of electromagnetic fields for the last 30 to 40 years. We haven't evolved yet to be able to take that on, and we're trying, our bodies are trying to adjust to that, but it's causing a lot of health issues.
It's definitely something that has an effect. One of the things that really drew my attention was a video taken about 3 miles from an airport, and it was aphids on a weed. And every time the radar system from the airport would basically sweep in that direction, you'd see all the aphids twitch, and they would just twitch exactly. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure that these electromagnetic frequencies do something to the body. And you know, some of the clinical grade gear here, like the stuff from Pulse Centers, which was a previous guest on the show, where like you can see your muscles jump when you put a big enough magnetic field on it. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing is sound. Mm-hmm. And sound is different than a magnetic field or an electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. And what does sound do that's different than a magnetic field?
Well, you know, we believe that sound, especially human sound, is going to be the best carrier frequency, restorative frequency back into the body, because again, it's organic to the body. So what we did was, first off, we've taken the sound was created by two powerful sound healers with a great intention for healing. And again, science has proven that our thoughts, beliefs, and intentions create our reality. That's all proven in science.
Well, I think there might be some debate about that, but I believe it to be true.
Yeah. I'm sure that some people would debate that. But anyway, so the intention of that healing was put into that original toning, and it was basically toned in like a Native American tradition. And then it was broken into its individual frequencies and blended with harmonics of that bass frequency to create an oscillating waveform. And that oscillating waveform, through the principle of entrainment and resonance, is very restorative for the brain and the body. So when we talk about, you know, entrainment and resonance, we're talking about, again, about the fact that, okay, we have certain frequencies in the body. If you have something that's a more powerful frequency that's affecting it, like metals and toxins in the body or harmful EMFs, things like that, they will take over, and the natural frequencies in your body will entrain with that other frequency because those other frequencies are more powerful. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to have the natural frequencies in your body entrain with the proper frequencies. And that's what we're introducing back into the body through our sound frequency technology. So what we've done is we've created an oscillating waveform, and we've taken, like our website says, we've taken ancient tradition meets quantum physics. So we've taken human sound as the carrier, and then we've put that into an oscillating waveform that's helping the brain and the body, because it's an overall body effect, because you're listening through headphones and you also have pads on your wrists and ankle acupuncture meridians.
Now, anytime we're dealing with mitochondrial function in the body, we're mm-hmm. dealing with quantum biology, and people hear quantum physics, and it's used a lot in personal development, because part of the story of quantum physics is that, well, if you're not observing something, it doesn't actually happen.
Yeah.
Which can be abused when you're working to, working to establish a mechanism for why something works. In this case, though, we know flat out that mitochondria are sound sensitive, and we know that they use quantum effects to generate electrons. That's actually something that no one understood there were semiconductors until very recently. So we're discovering all these strange things about it, and that you can change how they function with sound. So there's a definite quantum effect. And what I did, because, well, I'm, an unlicensed biohacker and I don't really follow instructions very well. So you sent the clinical care. I said, wait till I'm there. I'm like, screw that noise. So I unpacked it, opened it up, slapped some of the sound coils on my acupuncture meridians. And then I did what it said in the instruction manual for clinicians. This isn't the home unit. And I said, well, I'm going to listen to these 48 different tones that have different biological effects in them. I'm not exactly new to this kind of stuff. You know, I've run 40 years of Zen, neurofeedback, and we're always looking at different sounds, what they do to the brain, and measuring brainwave feedback. Mm-hmm. And I don't exactly know what you've got going on in some of the tones, but like I'm seeing weird things, and you can really feel them in the body. So I picked the three that seemed to be most effective. You're supposed to do this with some electrical feedback stuff that I kind of skipped. Oops.
At least you're still alive. Okay? You're not going to sue me, so that's okay.
Exactly. And I did find that my heart rate variability went up after I did it. I monitor that with a ring when I sleep. So my sleep did improve after I did this. And what I would do is I'd listen to the three tones that seemed to just resonate best with me, for lack of a better word. And there is some, you can use, muscle testing, or the normal way is to do an electrodermal screening where you look at a change in resistance in the body. Mm-hmm. But I kind of skipped that step. All I know is that there was something interesting going on there, but I haven't used it enough to really know what it is. But I was intrigued enough to say, you need to come up here and tell me what's going on. So that was kind of the background for listeners about why I wanted to do this. So you worked with two Native American sound healers to sort of understand how in that tradition they would do a sound healing, essentially like chanting sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like a chanting or a toning type of tradition. Yes.
And you recorded that, and then you added, you explained this to me before, but I'm not sure I understand it all. You added something on top of it?
We broke the original toning into its base frequencies. And so those frequencies were basically the 48 that are on the system. And then we took each of those base frequencies and we blended harmonics of that base frequency in to create an oscillating waveform. So it was kind of done, it's kind of like a mix of a little bit of experimentation, mathematics, and just working with it to get that perfect waveform that is restorative for the brain and the body.
And when we're talking about harmonics, you can basically take a frequency and you can double it, and that's a harmonic of this. So if you had, you know, a 10 hertz frequency, which would be a low rumble, and then you double it, that's the first harmonic. You double that, that's the second harmonic. And it sounds good. Like, this is why a guitar, a flute, any sort of music, we have these musical notes that are harmonics. And there's definitely more power that happens as you go up in harmonics. And you can do strange things, like you get the resonant frequency of something in a cell, and you can take multiple harmonics of that, and they have a really powerful biological effect. And that's why music either sounds good or it sounds awful, because the harmonics are wrong and our brain's processing that. So you digitally introduce harmonics of a Native American sort of sound healing tradition in order to increase the strength of it.
Yeah. So basically we had the bass frequency, which is all, you know, human sound. And then we took blended harmonics of those bass frequencies using a wave generator. Up to three different signals were applied to each of those bass frequencies to create that very complex waveform that you hear. And you can, you know, for each one, it's different. And you've told me you can hear that on the waveforms. So each one is done differently. And it has a different sounding effect, has a different feeling effect as it comes through the pads. I also want to mention, in the pads is a small speaker and a high-grade lab-grown crystal. So that crystal is amplifying the oscillation. We're also creating a very, we're making that crystal move in a certain effect, basically a pattern, what we call an oscillation, a pattern vibration that's different for each of those tones, and that is creating a very subtle piezoelectric effect. Because anytime you make a crystal move, scientific principle, you're creating a subtle piezoelectric effect. So we're introducing a very subtle electromagnetic current to the body, but it's a very natural electromagnetic current because it is human sound based and it's also crystalline based. And our bodies have a lot of crystalline properties to them.
A piezoelectric effect is something that a lot of non-engineers aren't going to know about. And this is just that idea that movement of some surfaces can create an electrical current. And what is almost unknown, something I read about in Headstrong, is that your cell membranes in the body are piezoelectric. So that means all of the little tiny droplets of fat that surround your mitochondria to make the membrane and surround your cell membranes, they make electricity when you walk, when you jump, when you breathe, when you sing, when you speak.
That's the basis of life right there. And Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about the how our cells are very crystalline in their alignment and properties. So we are basically like crystals.
Water is a liquid crystal.
And actually, you know, there's water surrounding our DNA. And so, you know, and obviously Dr. Emoto, through his experiment, showed that how you can, with whatever you say, the intention that you put into the water can create certain crystalline shapes, or you can create very disparate, you know, negative shapes by saying negative words to it. So literally, as we, you know, and what's coming through our sound frequency technology, but also what's happening in everything we're doing in the world, just how we speak to somebody, how we think and everything, we are, you know, literally reshaping our DNA to a negative or positive pattern.
It may sound out there, but that
is all scientifically proven. If somebody wants to contact me, I can give them the study. There was actually a study out of UCLA that showed the water surrounding the DNA, and they did experiments on that. And so
there's definitely water surrounding DNA, and we've had Gerald Pollack, in fact, Bulletproof is supporting some of the research at his lab now at University of Washington, where he's looking at, you know, the core properties of water inside cells to see what happens there. And I think a lot of people don't know about that kind of research, but there is something going on there. I'm still not convinced fully by Dr. Emoto's sort of things. I haven't seen it replicated enough to say, you know, if you look at water and say bad water, that it's somehow somehow going to make ugly crystals, and if you say good water, it's going to make happy crystals. But there's probably something going on there.
I think what's happening is what you're seeing is you're seeing a spirituality and science come together in a way that they haven't done before. And a lot of the things that spirituality has understood over for a long time, a lot of the mystics have understood it, is starting to be duplicated in science. And we are, and that's a beautiful bridge that's happening between the two, because that's really, you know, what what we are at a core. I mean, basically the science has proven that everything is one undifferentiated energy field. So we're kind of, you know, coming into science is starting to prove a lot of these things.
We've had a few guests on the show who are definitely doing research in there. And Bruce Lipton came on.
Okay.
Just a fantastic guy. In fact, I met him years ago through the nonprofit anti-aging group that I run. And he just kind of blew my mind. But when you meet him, he's, you know, the biology of belief and some pretty out there metaphysical religious stuff. But you meet him, he's like, oh, yeah, we were cloning cells in 1968, like before you were born, Dave.
Wow.
And he's like a hardcore cell biologist. And he's like, what I saw in cells led me to believe, you know, everything is connected and that the environment programs the cell. And water is part of the environment. Frequency is part of the environment, both electromagnetic and sound and vibration. And I fundamentally believe, just based on all of the experiences I've had, including, you know, Tibet and you know, all sorts of altered states work. Look, if you're sitting, you know, with a heart full of hate and negative intent towards others, it's going to cost you something, and it's probably not good for the people around you. Which is why I work to not do that in my life. It's just not worth the time. So there's enough evidence to act on that. And I don't think we know all the mechanisms inside it, but we're starting to take what ancient traditions have looked at for a long time, and you can feel something, right? And now we're saying, well, why do you feel it? And we're sort of crafting the science and the story and looking at that. I don't think science is anywhere near done doing that. Mm-mm. But without any science at all, you can have a tradition of sound healing or Tibetan chanting or any of the Hindu-derived, you know, the various ohms and postures and mudras and mantras and things like that. And the bottom line is that they work. And they work differently for different people and things like that. But we don't do those things for thousands of years because we're crazy pants. We do those things for thousands of years because we can feel they're doing something. Mm-hmm. And we don't like it that we don't know why they're doing something. And it sounds like you're taking some steps towards taking advantage of those effects as we're understanding the mechanism.
Yeah, we are. And this is a patented technology that nobody else has. I think what we're doing is, you know, it's been obviously been used for thousands of years. And so we want to take, and then we've come into a technology age where it's almost like a lot of those things we were doing before have been discarded.
Yeah.
And what we don't want to discard them. We want to take the best of what's there and blend it into the new and create things that you know, can really benefit people. So I think what's happened is with the understanding of frequency, you know, back in the like early 1900s to the 30s and the 40s, frequency was well understood in terms of its effects. And there was a number of people doing things with frequency. And then I think we moved kind of into another model. And we've kind of forgotten a lot of, you know, the benefits of understanding frequency medicine and how we can affect that. And that's starting to come back in. You know, Stephen Hawking, the British physicist who wrote The Brief History of Time, said that basically electromagnetism controls all chemical reactions, all biological responses in life itself. So really, frequency medicine underpins everything that's happening on the biochemical level.
We have this problem where 100 years ago or so, we had this fight between the electromagnetic arguments for medicine. This goes back to a guy called Pliny the Elder, the first guy to use electric eels to treat migraines, like back in ancient Greece. And so there's been this tradition there. And then there's been the more the alchemy-derived chemistry-based tradition. And about 100 years ago, like chemistry trumped electromagnetism in a few debates, really. Mm-hmm. And so medicine went down this chemical pathway. But as we start understanding more about this stuff, we realize all chemistry is essentially physics when you get right down to it, and all physics eventually derives down to oscillations, vibrations of what's mostly empty space.
Right.
Nassim Harim was on the show recently looking at, you know, quantum physics and talking about even a proton is empty inside. So we have all these very thin membranes in the body, but even then we're mostly space and the space vibrates over time. And the stuff kind of blows my mind because I think there's a lot we don't know yet, but we know enough that you can take an older technology like chanting and you can apply newer technology like signal processing and waveform generation put it into the right parts of the body, which came out of the field of acupuncture, and then say, is there an effect you can generate? Mm-hmm. And certainly there's something going on there. I can feel an effect, whether it's permanent or placebo or whatever. I haven't done enough playing around with it. But what are some of the effects that you see when you get someone hooked up and you screen them for the right tone? Like what's the experience for people who use it?
Well, you know, we have a professional system, and there most of the physicians and other health practitioners that have that are pre-screening people to determine which tones are most balancing. Then we also have a home unit, which has four preset programs on there. And so we're seeing fantastic results on sleep, stress, low energy, mental focus, things like management of chronic illness, kids who are highly sensitive and unable to regulate their emotions or behavior. This really grounds them. And we're also seeing having reports in a number of other areas that you know, I really can't talk about, but but certainly a lot of things. What we're doing is we're balancing the autonomic nervous system, and we're taking somebody into a deep parasympathetic state. So we're taking them from a sympathetic state, which is a fight or flight state, into a deep parasympathetic state, which is a resting or healing state. And any health practitioner anywhere, whether they're alternative or conventional, will tell you they want to treat people in a parasympathetic state, and that everything that they do to treat people that is that much more effective when they're treating them from a parasympathetic state. Because of all like these voltage-gated calcium channels, the EMFs hitting that, and all this other stuff that we're undergoing with stress and everything, probably 90% of the U.S. population is walking around in the fight-or-flight state. So we take them into the deep parasympathetic, and for most people, vast majority of people, they feel that the very first time they run. It really grounds and puts them back in their body. And they're like, I didn't know I was supposed to feel like this, you know, because they've been walking around in this other state for so long, you know, and you're probably not a good case because you're doing so many other things. But for most people who are not doing anything and who are, you know, around a huge amount of computers or Wi-Fi or, you know, things like that, They're like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, amazing. I didn't know I was supposed to feel like this.
I travel for Bulletproof about at least 125 days a year. So I'm on airplanes, I'm in hotel rooms. And I as I do that, I take every step I can to protect myself from excessive EMF exposure and toxin exposure. But I'm on an airplane. Like I'm going to you know, take the hit and I'm going to counter it as best I can. I'm pretty open about the fact that I spent the first 30 or so years of my life in a constant sympathetic state. And in Headstrong, I read about this idea that the cells in your body are actually listening to the magnetic field that comes from your heart. Mm-hmm. And it comes from your heart in a measurable, quantifiable way where we can describe the shape of it. It's shaped like a donut, a torus. And like this is actually like biophysics, not chakra kind of things.
Right.
By the way, chakras are useful for meditation. They exist as well. But like the cells listen to this. And if you are emotionally or physically in a state of stress, you'll be sympathetic. And then the body is ready to fight, but it will not turn on cellular repair mechanisms. Mm-hmm. And so if you can use sounds to shift someone out of that into the state that's required for the cells to clean themselves out, for the cells to fold new proteins and things like that, that is going to have clinically noticeable results. Mm-hmm. And I definitely felt some shifts from using the tones, like actually more than I expected. I have to say, when I unpacked all the clinical stuff, I'm like, okay, so it looks like I'm kind of putting some speakers on my ankles here, you know, wow, what am I getting myself into? But the combination of that, and it sounds like, okay, that's relatively strong in the overall.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're obviously coming into the auditory cortex through the headphones,
right.
But then we're coming into, you know, into the acupuncture meridians, and Robert Becker talks about the acupuncture meridian system, and we're spreading those frequencies throughout the fascia of the body. That's the mechanism, the pathways for the basically frequency is how frequency spreads along the body. So we're spreading along the fascia of the body, and it's affecting all of the whole body system, as opposed to just trying to, you know, affect the brain. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to restore. I mean, frequency has been, again, frequency has been proven to can kill cells. You know, there's been studies showing that frequency can kill cells. Or so frequency, and the concept behind that is, you know, I don't know if you remember back from, like, if you're old enough to remember, like, Ella Fitzgerald used to sing and she would shatter the Memorex glass.
Right.
So that's a dissonant frequency. You're giving a frequency of the glass that's incompatible with the frequency of the glass and you would shatter it. So that's some of the experiments that they're doing now with frequency being able to kill, like, cancer cells and things like that. And there's certain people doing some stuff around there. But what we're doing is we are sending a restorative frequency back into the body to bring the natural resonant frequencies back into what they're supposed to be, and to allow the body and the immune system to operate more as intended.
The first guy I'm familiar with using resonant frequencies to kill things is a guy named Royal Rife. And years ago, when I had Lyme disease and I hadn't solved it with ozone and just mitochondrial resuscitation stuff, and frankly, I think Lyme disease is always triggered by toxic mold. I was living in a place with toxic mold too. So, you know, chicken and egg kind of thing. Anyway, I bought a Rife machine, and Rife was around 100 or so years ago. And
30s,
yeah. So almost 90 years then, yeah. There, give or take. And I actually have all of his original research papers and all this. And what he did is he invented, he worked for Zeiss, the instrument manufacturer, and he invented a very, very high-powered microscope. Mm-hmm. It was so high-powered that you couldn't use a normal light to look at things because he was looking at things that were amplified beyond the wavelength of light. So we started using basically electromagnetic frequencies to illuminate cells, to watch live cells. And he noticed one day that if he would tune the electromagnetic frequency, some cells would die. So he actually spent years looking through a microscope saying, well, here's, you know, syphilis, and let me just tune this. And then, oh, there, the cells just broke apart. So he was finding non-resonant frequencies. So I was a little skeptical, but hey, when you have Lyme disease and toxic mold and you feel like crap all the time and Western medicine doesn't work, you'll try anything. And I did. I tried everything. So I have this strange looking device with a tube full of neon gas or something. It might have been argon, whatever it was. And I was living with someone at the time, and she had developed herpes lesions in her sinuses. It was terribly painful.
Oh my gosh.
And this was also a result of living in a house with toxic mold. Your immune system goes nuts. So I didn't tell her what I was doing. She was reading. And I'm like, let's see what happens. So I tuned in the frequency on this thing specifically for the herpes virus. And within 5 seconds of me turning it on, she's 20 feet away from the machine. She drops the book, screams, grabs her face and says, ah, turn it off. Turn it off. What are you doing? You know, you can't make that up. There was no placebo here because she didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, oops, I guess there's something going on here. Right. And then Rife's work, surprisingly, the guy who started the American Medical Association tried to buy the technology. And when Rife said, I'm not selling it, they actually went out and wrecked most of his microscopes and tried to destroy. They actually burned some of his research and all sorts of bad stuff in the history of the formation of the modern establishment of, like, chemical-based medicine. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's ample evidence based on that experience that I had myself that frequencies really can do something on a cellular level. With the sound frequencies that you guys are using, like, there's a plausible explanation for how this could be doing something. You mentioned in this fascia, and the fascial planes in the body are basically the things that hold muscle and organs together. And they're made out of this amazing substance called, you guys ready? Collagen, right? Yeah. And gee, do I put that in my bulletproof coffee every day? Yes, not every day. Some days I do, but I eat it every day. And it's one of our products, right? Because when you have properly formed fascia in the body, fascia conducts vibration. It also conducts electricity. Mm-hmm. We mentioned piezoelectricity, which comes from sound. Mm-hmm. So you're creating a piezoelectric signal at basically parts near the fascia on the wrists and ankles, and you're creating specific frequencies of electricity using these vibrations and probably these crystals in there as well that are part of it. Mm-hmm. And then it's traveling along the fascia planes if your fascia is intact, right? And then could it have an effect on the nervous system? Yes. You guys are seeing changes in heart rate variability, and you're seeing behavioral change, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing very large changes in heart rate variability. Certainly, you know, people that have nervousness, significant changes in that. and just an overall restorative effect in the whole body and the brain. And I think coming back, you know, having the dual effect, I mean, there's a number of reasons why what we're doing is so unique and powerful, but definitely coming both into the brain and into the body is having that dual thing is significant. So
tell me one of the most dramatic things you've seen from someone who you know, strapped on the electrodes, or not electrodes, sorry, strapped on the what do you call them, signal transducers, speakers.
I mean, there's actually speakers in there and yeah. Crystal, and then certainly the headphones. You know, I think the thing for us that we are most, we are very grateful for this technology because we've seen such significant results in people's lives in terms of what they tell us from, you know, and what we've seen in terms of like helping kids who are just
like, give me an example, like a specific one.
There's a testimony on our website from a mom who basically had tried all these other things and whose child was just unruly. And the teachers were just like, you know, can't handle this child. And so she started running on Uriel tones and she is continuing to run, and it has made a huge difference in what grounding her. Her teachers have said, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing? This is such a significant difference." We've seen results in so many areas outside the physiological. We have people, you know, like telling us that they're undergoing cancer treatment. This is a great adjunct to that, and it's helping them, you know, with sleep and stress, but also with their fear over cancer. So this is not a scientific thing that I can say, but there's some kind of principle of peace that's coming through our equipment that's helping people just feel, you know, that they're okay about things. There's no science around that.
I think there might be some science around that.
Yeah.
And it comes down to sympathetic versus parasympathetic. If there's something going on, whether it's environmental or emotional, psychological, spiritual, whatever, that causes your body to be in fight or flight, then you're going to feel anxiety and fear and pain and suffering more. And if there's something in the environment or inside of you and your thought processes, spiritual attainment, whatever you want to call it, that causes you to consciously or unconsciously be in a parasympathetic dominant where your body's in that rest and refresh, you're more resilient when you have the ability to switch between the two. Mm-hmm. Fight or flight is useful if there's a tiger about to eat you.
Right.
But if it's turned on during chemotherapy, it's actually going to make the drugs not work mm-hmm. as well, because you're going to be fighting it. But if you can turn on the repair and recovery mechanisms, so if the tones can help the body shift, that would be the feeling of peace. Peace is associated with parasympathetic dominance, mm-hmm. and we can measure it in brainwaves too. Mm-hmm. Do you ever strap an EEG on someone's head and see what happens in their brain when they do it?
We've done that. We did that one time and it showed significant results. We need to get into, we feel like in 2018, we're going to be getting into some clinical studies. So we need to scientifically validate what we're seeing subjectively. But I can say the subjective results, you know, you're talking about other things. I mean, we see such a wide variety of things. And sometimes there are like things that make us shake our head, like somebody who was on the table who had not been able to smell since she was 3 years old, got off the table, was able to smell for, you know, a number of days. We see people who have chemical sensitivities, and this is helping them. People are reporting a wide range of things, and we think that's because for several reasons, but one of the largest reasons is that, you know, when frequency, we all very much have a different body blueprint. So when our frequencies in the body become distorted, then that is manifesting in a number of ways. It could be certain health issues, could be something like chemical sensitivities. And there's certainly other things that could play into that. I mean, they could have mold issues or things like that. But we are helping in some situations, we're helping, you know, completely. In other situations, we're helping partially, and they're seeing results. So when you're able to, you know, again, the frequency is foundational to the body and to the brain. And when you're able to change that back to its healthy frequency, then that's why we believe we're seeing results in so many areas.
I'm intrigued. What I'll do one of these days when I get around to it is I'll either take the gear down to 40 Years of Zen and run it with a neuroscientist down there, or maybe I'll just put the electrodes on my head and
I love that.
And see what happens, because it's easy for me to get signals off my brain, like clinical grade stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm probably not a good guinea pig, because I might be subject to placebo because I understand what it's supposed to do. So I'd want to stick it on an unsuspecting guinea pig, probably some family member or a child or something. Child experiments are okay, right?
Yeah, I don't know about the EEG part, but
But as long as it's non-invasive, if you're hearing sounds or looking at your brainwaves, I don't think you're doing anything dangerous there, because we hear sounds all the time and we generate brainwaves all the time. So measuring things like that seems within the realm of exceptionally safe, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
What would happen if I played some Nine Inch Nails through your system?
Some Nine Inch Nails.
You don't know Nine Inch Nails? Trent Reznor. One of the angrier kinds of music that are out there. I used to be a big fan when I was in high school. Yeah, so
basically, our system is... I'm too old for Nine Inch Nails. So our system is designed to play what we've created. And also, one of the things... I want to mention this. One of the things, the reasons that this is... Another reason this is powerful is because we are giving the body lossless sound. And what I mean by that is it's not been digitally compressed at all. So anything that you know, we have a number of reasons, but anything that you download over the internet or you're listening to your iPhone or anything like that has all been digitally compressed. So what we've created has not been digitally compressed. It's if you listen to it in the studio. I mean, it's been modulated in a certain way, but it's basically, it has no digital compression to it. And what happens when you digitally compress something is you lose a lot of the subtle frequencies and harmonics, because they're pulling out, you know, certain things to be able to compress it to send it. And so our system is delivering lossless sound. And that is another thing that, you know, is a big part of what we're doing.
Are you using vacuum tubes in it?
No.
Okay, cool. So there's still a digital component there, but it's just extremely high fidelity digital.
I mean, basically what we're doing is, obviously when it's on the system, it's digitized, and then we're sending it through a digital to analog converter.
Okay.
So we're basically delivering it back to analog.
Got it. And this is something that, unless you're a super geek like me, a lot of people haven't thought about that. But the true audiophiles, yeah, they listen to records, because when you have a record, all the waveforms are round, just like if you were playing a real instrument. That's why live music just always sounds better. Mm-hmm. And then when you put it even on a CD instead of round, you're getting all these little basically stair step functions. Mm-hmm. And if you really tune in on the difference between live music or something that's played through a warmer tube amp, there is a difference, and it's a subtle biological difference. When we first switched to CDs, and I'm just old enough to remember, you know, getting my first CD and not buying records anymore, and people were complaining, like, it sounds like, you know, someone shattering ice, or like it doesn't sound right. And now that's all we know how to hear, because pretty much anything you hear is digitally modulated unless it's live. So what you've done
it's also digitally compressed, because because it's having to come over some kind of device, coming over the internet or some kind of device. So, you know, musicians really appreciate what we have here, because they understand that it's delivering a pure essence of sound, and they can, you know, they can appreciate the difference. So the delivering those subtle frequencies and harmonics is really important, because that's where a lot of the healing effects come from, is in those subtle frequencies and harmonics.
Yeah, it's just being a podcaster and having been around when the very first MP3s came out, long before Napster, any of that sort of stuff. I think my first MP3 download was Metallica. Geez, this would have been 1995, 1996, before the first MP3 player. And by the way, Metallica, if you're listening, I apologize. I did want to wear a Napster shirt at one of your concerts, but I would never do that now, because, well, I see what happened to music. Anyway, at the time, I thought it was pretty cool because I was a big fan. And one of the things that happened was it just didn't sound the same. And you'd buy a CD and it was better. And if you hear musicians like that play live, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's a whole visceral sensation. And it's not because the speakers are better. It's part of it, but it's because you're actually getting all the harmonics because it's live. Mm-hmm. And I do notice a difference just from working with stuff. You're using like a Rolls amp, which audiophiles will know what that means, but you're using super high-end gear. And yeah, if you're looking to do more than just cognitively hear something, but to viscerally feel it, okay, I could see there being a reason to do that. I'm guessing you tested using cheaper stuff and smaller signals. It doesn't work.
Our home unit is one piece of equipment. So our actual professional unit is three pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. And we are looking for, we're looking to go to our next round of funding. And one of those things would be to develop one piece of equipment, but it would certainly be everything that we're doing is going to have very high end reproduction capability, similar to what we have right now with like the Rolls amp and so forth.
Interesting. So part of this equation for people listening who are saying, all right, is there something to sound healing? Look, if you've got a guy playing a didgeridoo over, you know, over your navel, it's going to be different than listening to a recording of a didgeridoo over your navel. Mm-hmm. And part of this is that there's a signal compression thing. And then part of this with what Uriel Tones is doing is you're putting resonant frequencies in there and some waveforms that you've generated. And certainly I was pretty impressed when I hooked all this stuff up because I didn't expect it to be the level of, I wouldn't expect to have been able to feel it or to just like sense an altered state coming on the way it did. Mm-hmm. Do people report sort of feeling altered states, sort of seeing things?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's very interesting because it's, for us, we're seeing, it's working at many levels beyond the physiological. It's definitely, certainly working at an energetic level, working very much at an emotional level. We've seen people have major emotional releases on the table, like remember past things and kind of, you know, release things. And we've had people have major spiritual experiences on the table. Those are the types of things we kind of shake our head at and just, I mean, not that we're in disbelief, but just, you know, just it's amazing things that are happening. We kind of, what happens through that technology, because it was done by two powerful sound healers with a great intention for healing, there's a certain, whatever you call aura or something that's coming through there, in addition to how we're putting, we have a combination of the mystical stuff, but also the science stuff. We're combining, you know, the both.
It's easy for some people to shake their head and say intent doesn't matter because it hasn't been proven to my personal satisfaction. I'll just stipulate that. Look, intent matters. It's made a huge difference in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't actually care if it's placebo at this point, but I'll keep rolling with that. And all of the most successful, happiest, most productive, like amazing people I know are all in alignment on the fact that intent matters. So, hey, you know,
go with the flow.
Maybe we're all wrong, but in the meantime, I'll give you that one. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm in complete agreement with you. I mean, I think that basically our intentions, you know, definitely our thoughts and beliefs create our reality. And so you seem like a very, fun loving and life loving person, you know, good hearted person. And so you are, I think it's your intention of what you've created to, you know, what you want to do, how you want to help people, you know, how you want to spread the word about some amazing technologies and what you're doing. And I think that, you know, that's how you create your reality and what happens to you in life.
I would agree with that. In fact, that gives us a little bit of time to transition. You've written a couple books around sort of personal development and things like that. Sort of what's your basic theory behind or your basic thinking behind that?
Well, you know, we discussed this a little bit. I kind of came to this in a little bit different way than most than what you did, because I went through a standard thing of like emotional therapy. And so I was working off a lot of emotional trauma that happened in my childhood. And as I was doing that, I was also kind of working on my spiritual path at the same time, because I believe that our emotional and spiritual paths are intertwined. You know, the all the religious traditions talk about God being love. And so I think we come back to a spiritual nature through our emotions. And I think the way that you do that is you have to release false beliefs. And so we have a lot of beliefs, and some people have more beliefs than others and a lot more negative beliefs. And so we get entwined with those beliefs, and there's a certain frequency to that. There's definitely very much a frequency to those beliefs. And so as you release what is false inside of you, what is true, basically it remains, and that's what comes up, and that's what that's what you work with.
Very well put. I wouldn't counter any of that. I have one more question for you, Larry. If someone came to you tomorrow and said, I want to perform better at everything I do as a human being, what are the three most important pieces of advice you'd have for me? What would you offer them?
I would say become a lot more aware of yourself. And when you become aware of yourself, I would say witness how you interact in life and with others. You know, we talk about all the spiritual traditions, talk about like witnessing, taking a step back and seeing how how you're doing things. So witnessing is very important because you can't change something if you're like, it's like if you're in the forest, if your nose is pressed up against a tree, you don't know you're in the forest. So you got to take a different perspective and step back. You got to take, get above the trees and see you're in the forest. And then you have to make the decision to change the behaviors that are not productive for you, that are not in alignment with who you want to be. Now, maybe you decide you don't want to be a nice person. maybe you choose that. Okay. But I think most people will choose like, okay, I don't want to do that. I want to be, a good hearted person who's putting really good in the world and helping people. So I think the first thing is witnessing that. And then the second thing would be taking action, on that. And then just being aware of, all these things, being aware of things that you need to do to, besides, your beliefs, but things you need to do to improve your life. And especially on the health end, I think there's, one of the things that we have to be careful of is people will say, well, this technology or this supplement is good for everybody. And that's not true. I mean, there's no one thing that's going to do this specific thing for every single person. And there's a lot of people hawking that message. And so you have to determine, and this is something that you're probably the leader of the world on in terms of like testing things. You just have to evaluate things. You've got to read up a lot of it, and where appropriate, you got to test it and see what works for you to help you to be more healthy. And because when you are more healthy and basically you remove the things inside of you that they're preventing you from what I would say, recognizing your divinity. And those things can be, physiological things like metals and toxins in the body or polluting your body with fast food or, being around too many EMFs. And then the other thing is, beliefs. So it's a multifaceted thing to be able to take a look at yourself and figure out, and make decisions. What's right for you? Because what's right for you doing certain things may not be what's right for somebody else.
I think that was number one was awareness. What are the other two?
That was like a multifaceted answer. You're going to hit me. Yeah. Awareness and awareness is the best thing. I would say, choosing to be the best version of yourself.
Okay. All right. Got it.
I think basically choosing to be kind in all instances, realizing that what you put out there has immense ripples, even the smallest of gestures, like a kind gesture, a smile, even a short word to somebody has immense gestures in the universe. I believe that strongly, that what we put out there comes back to us in a certain way, and that we are here to evolve and to recognize who we are and to basically and to kind of come into alignment with being the best version of ourselves, which is the divine self.
Very well put. Larry, all of your research and work is available at urielsound.com, urielsound.com. And your company is called Huso or Uriel Tones.
Yes.
And I'm definitely playing with the technology here. People can find this at a few practitioners' offices today. I think you've got a finder on the website for people who want to do that. And there's a home unit that you've also just started selling recently.
Yeah, we started selling the home unit this year. We're in a number of physician and health practitioner offices across the U.S., a little bit in Canada, a little bit in Europe, a little bit in Australia, mostly in the U.S. on the professional model. Somebody can contact us and ask, let us know where they're at, and we can tell them we're in a lot of major cities, but not all of them. We can let them know if there's a practitioner there, and then we're selling our home unit off of our website, and we're going to have a pretty neat thing in 2018 where we'll have a great synergies between home unit users and professional unit and professional centers, so they can go in, get pre-screened for their own technologies, and then be able to download those into their box, their home unit.
That's pretty cool stuff. So maybe we can make a traditional sound healing more effective, upgrade a little bit, and then make it more accessible, which is kind of cool because I don't know that many world-class sound healers floating around, and there's billions of people, so maybe we can scale this technology up, which is cool.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, that's obviously, there's many very good-hearted, powerful sound healers out there, and people doing some amazing stuff with sound. We think we've developed something that takes this into where it can be spread, and it can be in many people's homes and achieve the same effect as if you go to a sound practitioner. Because there's only so many of them, and they can only see so many people,
right.
And there's so many people in need.
Beautiful. Well, I support your mission there, and I love how you're taking these older, ancient traditions and ancient healing technologies and building on them. I think that's one of the core things we can do as biohackers. So thanks for your work, and thanks for being on Bulletproof Radio.
Thank you for having me.
If you like today's show, you know what to do. Head on over to iTunes and leave a review that says, I really enjoyed this show. Give us like 19 stars or whatever the number of stars you can leave is. If you think the show is worthy of that, I certainly appreciate the reviews. And if you haven't had a chance to check out Headstrong, now is the time to read it or maybe even buy it as a gift for someone you care about. So you have some new knowledge about how you can upgrade your cognitive function. And when you read Headstrong, you will find that there is a bunch of information in there about how vibration affects your cells. And this whole episode at the end of the day is about how vibrations can be controlled, manipulated, and tuned so that you get a biological effect from that. That's cool stuff. And that's biohacking for you.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.